transportation is, up to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 19. And on the screens, if you can pull up Psalms chapter 27 and verse 13, we're going to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 19 through 23. On the screens, the book of Psalms chapter 27 and verse 13. While you're turning there, I want to make mention of a couple of things that you can sign up for. You probably noticed that in the church we have sign-up tables located in a number of places where every man in here can sign up for two of our men's events that are coming up. The first Monday in May at 7 o'clock, all of us businessmen are people who are looking to grow in their career. We meet over at Table 100. That's the first Monday of every month. And there I interview a Christian businessman and talk about how God has enabled them to achieve success in their career, achieving success God's way and not the world's way. So I want to encourage you, if you can, come on out to that. That's not tomorrow, but it is the next Monday. You can sign up for that today. It's $8 a person. That's not going to anyone. That's just going to pay for the food there at the restaurant. And so we want to encourage you, if you can, to come out to that. You can sign up for it after service. Not only that, but you can also sign up for our Mighty Men event. And that's coming up in mid-May on a Saturday. We're going to have a great time. That's our free event. That's our biggest men's ministry event. We do it once every other month. And you don't want to miss this one. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're doing a crowd breaker entitled The Mighty Games. We're going to find out who is the mightiest man here at Word of Life. Some physical challenges as well as some mental challenges. And so we're excited about that. That'll be our crowd breaker. May the odds be forever in your favor and for the Mighty Games. But then secondly, we're also going to get into the Word of God. And we're going to talk about, as men, how to provide for not only ourselves, but also our family. The Bible talks about that he who doesn't provide for his household is worse than an infidel, worse than a sinner. Well, God wouldn't call us to provide for our families without telling us how. And so I want to encourage you to come out to that. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Once again, it's for every man. You can come out to it for free. Then after the praise and worship, the crowd breaker, the teaching of the word, we're going to feed all of the men as well. And so all of it's free. It's our way of being a blessing to you because we want to improve the quality of your life. We already have over 250 men signed up for it. We think we can break the ladies' record for attendance there. So come on, men. Help your fellow men on the Word of Life Church staff out. No, it'll be a blessing to you. You'll have a lot of fun and you'll gain wisdom in the Word of God. On Sunday mornings, we've been talking about walking in the fog. And what we mean by that is walking in the favor of God. Friend, if there's one thing that I have seen through my studies of the Word of God, it is that God is intimately interested in your life. Not just in the critical times where we need him to come through for us, but also with our basic needs and our basic desires of our heart. God doesn't want us to struggle in this life in any capacity. He wants us to achieve success and to win at life, if you will, to win at being a good husband or a mother and win on your career, to win in this life. He wants us to have victory. And one of the tools that he's given us to accomplish victory is a tool called favor. And we've been looking over through the Word of God for the last two Sundays about what the favor of God can do for an individual. And we saw in the book of Acts where Stephen was preaching, and he mentioned two people from the Old Testament who God put his favor on. We looked at Joseph, and we've been studying his life for the last 2 weeks, looking at what the favor of God did for him. But there was another person who Stephen made mention of when he was preaching who experienced the favor of God, and that was David. And David's life, it's just as interesting to me as Joseph. In fact, of all the people that I've studied and studying the subject of favor, I would probably say David experienced more of the favor of God than any other person who did experience it. Think about where David's life started. It started out with him being a shepherd over his father's sheep. It wasn't an admirable position. All of David's other brothers were men of war. They were out working and serving in the military there. David wanted to be there, but he was honoring his father by taking care of the sheep. When Samuel even came to David's father, Jesse, and said, hey, there's a king in your house, David's own father didn't think enough of David to even invite him to come and see if he was the king out of all those other boys. He's just a shepherd working a normal job. And all the while, it seems as if everyone else is doing what he wants to do. But the favor of God comes on David's life. And when it does, you see favor do what it always does. He starts progressing in his calling. He starts seeing promotion come from God. And what we're about to see in this text is here David, he's just out doing his work with the sheep. But suddenly, the hand of God's favor comes upon David's life, and it promotes him from that place up to a brand new place. And from that moment, his life just kept expanding in the goodness of God. Let's look at this in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 19. Let's see there. I'm in chapter 17. There we go. Chapter 16 and verse 19. At this moment, Saul is the king over Israel, and he's been tormented by an evil spirit. And he knows that the way to get free from this is to have someone who's anointed in praise and worship come and play for him. So he asks his servant, hey, who do you recommend? And out of all the people in the nation, this man chooses David. And in verse 19, it says, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him. And he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. Now, notice what happens here. Once again, when the favor of God comes upon your life, it leads to promotion. Here, David is just simply working a normal job as a shepherd. There's no high esteem to that. But when the favor of God comes on him, he gets an opportunity to stand before the king. And not to be an armor bearer, but just to come in this one time and play music. But when he comes into Saul's presence, God gives David favor in the eyes of Saul. And instead of David just playing this one time, Saul feels in his heart to be good to David, and he makes him his armor bearer, someone who will stay by his side continually, going from the sheepfold all the way to the king's palace, from a position of no esteem to a position of high esteem. That's what the favor of God did for David. Now, once again, it's interesting to notice here that this didn't just happen for David's convenience. This happened for David's purpose. The favor of God comes upon your life to help you run your race, to fulfill your purpose that God has given you. What's David's high calling in God? It's to be the next king of Israel. Well, he needs training on how to do that, right? So what's the best way for him to get training? For him to work right by a king. So God puts his favor on David. And what you see is over the next several years of David's life, even beyond that, over the next couple of decades, you see God's hand of favor upon this man. And what's interesting is the more you study the life of David, the more you see how this was a man who was not a perfect man, but it was also someone who continually had the favor of God on his life, that he saw promotion after promotion Even this morning, I was reading the end of his life, and it says, David died in good old age, full of days, full of riches, and full of honor. That's what the favor of God did for him. And then not only that, it enabled his success to continue on through his children and Solomon. David found favor in God's eyes. And I believe that out of all the Bible characters that we could read about who found favor, David teaches us through all of his writings in the book of Psalms how he experienced the favor of God. Notice what David said in Psalms chapter 27 and verse 13. He says, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Notice David said he was in a place where apparently it must have been a hard time. He's talking about his body feels like fainting. His mind feels like giving up. But he said, even in that moment, I am expecting to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, meaning in this life. Friends, if you're going to see the goodness of God, if you're going to see the favor of God, you've got to start believing for the favor of God, believing to see the goodness of God. And that's step number one to walking in more favor. You have to frame your world with the favor of God. And what I mean by that is you're looking for it. You know, if you've ever seen a picture in a frame, there could be a lot going on in that picture, but it's the frame that holds it all together. It's the frame that surrounds it. And what I mean by frame your world with the favor of God, it means you see a lot of stuff going on in your life right now. Begin to look to see the favor of God in those areas. You could be over here, you've got something going on with your family or something going on in the job or something going on with the friendship here, whatever it may be. But in each one of these areas, frame it with favor. Begin to believe to see God's favor in those areas. You could put it this way, be in the market for favor. Have you ever said, I'm in the market for a Ford or I'm in the market for a new home? Well, what that comes from is going to a supermarket, going to a grocery store. And you're there looking for something, and it could be you're looking for chopped walnuts. I was looking for chopped walnuts the other day. And I looked and looked and looked and looked and went all over that store looking for that one item. Asked several different people and they all led me astray. And anyway, but finally I found the chopped walnuts. I knew they were there because my wife told me they were there and she knows that grocery store. So I believed my wife and I found the chopped walnuts. How did I find them? I kept looking for it. I was in the market for chopped walnuts. In your life, be in the market, be looking for the favor of God. Think about how David talked. We found this video, you can cue it up for me. Think about Psalms chapter 23. It's probably the most famous psalm that David ever wrote. But to David, this was not just scripture. For David, it was the words of his mouth. And my wife found this video the other day. I thought it was pretty cute. So instead of reading Psalms 23, we'll actually see someone say Psalms 23. You can play the video. That's pretty cute, isn't it? Notice what she got tripped up on. Surely, surely goodness and mercy. And friends, once again, this was not David writing a psalm. He didn't sit down that day and say, you know what I need to do? I need to write a chapter in the Bible that people are going to read for the next 100 years. No, he sat down and wrote what was in his heart. This is just David talking. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me in paths by still waters. Like it says, he anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That is not David reading a scripture. That is how David talks. And the first way to experience more of God's favor is to talk that way. Surely goodness and mercy, they're going to follow me today. Surely I'll see the handiwork of God in every arena of my life. Father, I thank you. Your favor's coming in my business. I'm in the market for it. Father, I thank you. Your favor's coming upon my household. Surely goodness is going to show up here. That's the first step to walking more in the favor of God, is to frame your world with favor. And here's the second step I want to give you. It's one thing to believe for favor, to believe for God to give you more favor. But one way to increase in favor is to open your eyes to the favor that is all around you. Here's what I mean by this. Open up your Bibles, well, they're already open. So turn over with me to the book of James. And let's see a scripture here. James is in the New Testament, right past Hebrews. And if on the screens, you can go to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12, verses 35 through 36. And if you can pull that up for me in the Amplified, that would be great. Exodus chapter 12, verses 35 through 36 in the Amplified. We're going to the book of James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 17. The first step to walking in more favor is to begin to frame your world with favor. Begin to expect to see the goodness of God. David said, I would have fainted, but I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That's the first step to increasing in favor. The second step is to open your eyes to the favor of God that's in your life right now. The favor of God that's all around you. Notice James chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, every good and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning or of changing. Notice, every good thing that is in your life right now, it came from God. If it's good in your life right now, it's because God gave it to you. So think of all the good things that are in your life, big or small, even if it's just your health. That's the goodness of God. That's God's gracious hand in your life, in operation in your life. Think about a break that you got on the job. That's the favor of God. Begin to attribute anything good in your life to God's favor coming upon you. You know, when we first started the series, I was kind of poking fun at people who only talk about the favor of God giving you a parking place or giving you a discount at the mall, because favor can do a lot more than that. And it's true, you need to know that favor can help improve your life and help you reach the calling of God. But also, don't forget about all of those little things. If you had a good day, God's favor was in operation in your life. If you had a good break, give God praise for the favor he showed you. In the book of Exodus, we see an example of what favor can do. Here are the children of Israel. They're coming out of Egyptian bondage. And notice what it says here. It says, the Israelites did according to the word of Moses, and they urgently asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and of gold and of clothing. Verse 36 goes on to say, the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they gave them what they asked. They stripped the Egyptians of those things. Here you have the children of Israel who have been in bondage to Egyptians their entire lives. And God is delivering them from that bondage. But before he does, he wants to be good to them. So notice how God is good to them. He gives them favor in the eyes of the people who have been treating them bad for decades. And when he gives them that favor, notice what these people start doing. They start being good to the Israelites. They start blessing them with even natural things. My point in saying that is if you see anything in the natural that is good, recognize it's God's favor in operation in your life. God's favor can show up in some big, big ways. I've heard a couple of testimonies that I'll share with you now. There was a preacher who went over to Australia at the beginning of this year. And he was preaching one night, I believe in Melbourne, Australia. And while he was there preaching, he invited the people who were believing to see the goodness of God in 2012 to come up, and he wanted to pray with them. And he told them, before you come, I want you to write down what you're believing God for. And so there was a businessman who he wrote down on his sheet of paper, in the year 2012, I want to get out of debt. And he had $40,000 worth of debt to his name. I believe it was right over 40, maybe 42 or 43. So he wrote that down on the sheet of paper, went down front, and they got an agreement that they would see God's hand of favor, God's hand of blessing come upon that and help those people run their race in 2012. Well, the very next morning, the guy who wrote down that on the sheet of paper, he went to the bank to, I think, make a withdrawal, I think through a debit card. And when he did, he was notified that there was a freeze that had been put on his account. And for more information, he needed to contact the branch manager, the manager of that bank. And so he contacted the manager, and she informed him that someone by mistake had put $18.2 million in his account the night before. And that obviously it must have been some type of clerical error. And because of that, they had to put a freeze on his account so that he wouldn't withdraw any of that money and then lose it. And so, obviously, that was a little bit of a bummer to hear. You know, he was inconvenienced for a couple of days because he couldn't access any of his money until they found out whose money that really was. And finally, they made the adjustment and they contacted him and said, hey, we found out whose money it was and we're sorry about that. You know, someone inserted one wrong digit and it funneled the money to your account instead of the right account. Well, he thought that was the end of it. But the guy whose money it really was contacted the bank and said, I want to know who was inconvenienced by the error. I want to know and just call them up and apologize for any inconvenience that this may have caused them. And so the bank gave that man the other man's number. And so he called up the man who just a couple of nights before was believing for $40,000 worth of debt to be removed. And the guy calls him up and says, look, I am sorry for any inconvenience this may have happened or caused you. I just wanted to know if there's anything I could do to make it up to you. And the guy was silent on the other end of the line as he was thinking about, what should I tell him? And he thought, well, you know, you have not because you ask not, so I might as well just ask. I mean, after all, this guy does have $18.2 million. And he says, you know what? He said, I have 40-some-odd thousand dollars worth of debt that I'm looking to pay off this year. And as soon as he said that, the guy on the other end of the line said, considered it paid, hung up and sent him a cashier's check the very next day. Now, here's my point. A lot of people would say, well, that's just luck, or that's just whatever. That's just someone being good to someone else. You can call it whatever you want. But the Bible says that anything good that happens in your life comes down from God, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Friends, that's the favor of God in motion. I don't care how poor or rich you are. To cut someone $40,000 for no other reason other than you inconvenience for a couple of days, people don't just do that. That's the favor of God. I'll give you another example of how the favor of God can change someone's life. I heard of a lady who lives out in California. Her and her husband had several kids, and it was cheaper for her to keep the kids at the house because they were all younger than go to daycare. The price of daycare was so expensive that even if she got a job, all the money and then some would go out towards daycare. And they were struggling financially. Her husband was barely bringing in enough money to meet the needs of the household. And so she was in faith that in some way she could help contribute to the success of their household financially. And while she was praying one day and just asking God to help her be a blessing to her household, she got an idea to start making barrettes. She had always been good with arts and crafts, and she found a kit to make barrettes, and she made a couple just for her daughter, but people would constantly notice them and tell her how pretty the barrettes were. And one of those people who noticed the barrettes was an owner of a shop, a little boutique. And she asked if she could have a couple of the barrettes to go in her boutique. And she would sell the barrettes to her customers and enable this woman to bring in some income that way. Well, that's the favor of God in motion there. The lady said, I don't want any money from it. You can sell it I'd recommend selling it for $5. I think the lady said it cost her about 50 cents to produce each barrette. And she said, all $4.50 that comes back in profit, you can keep it as your own. I'm not looking for anything from it. So she set up shop there, and she just had a little table in the corner of the store with her barrettes on it. And they would sell every once in a while. But on this one particular day, I believe it was a Saturday, a lady walked in and noticed all the barrettes. And she approached the lady. She said, I'd like to purchase all of these barrettes. But not only that, I'd like the number of the lady who makes them so that I can order more. And so the lady said, well, sure. And so she charged her for the barrettes and gave the lady the number to contact the lady who made the barrettes. And so this lady calls her up and she says, hello, I saw your barrettes in such boutique. And I was wondering if I could purchase more of them. Well, the lady said, sure, you can purchase more of them. She said, how many would you like to purchase? The lady said, I believe it's the vice president of all the Saks stores in Southern California. And she said, I'm not looking to purchase them for myself. I'm looking to purchase them for the stores to get them in the stores. I'd like to purchase 50,000 barrettes. 50,000. She got an order for 50,000 barrettes in one day. She was able to set up shop, got some of her friends in there to help them make and turned out the order and made $250,000 from one day, one sale to one lady. Friend, that's the favor of God. The favor of God can do some great big things. It took David from the sheepfold all the way to an armor bearer. It took Joseph all the way from prison to being second in command of the most powerful nation on earth. It took that man from being loaded down with debt to being debt free. It took her from not only being a some sort of supply to the household, but to completely delivering that whole household from every financial need. That's the favor of God. It can work in big ways, but here's what I want to emphasize to you today. Not only can it work in big ways, but I am thoroughly convinced until we take notice of all the little ways God's favor is working in our life, we'll never see any of those big things take place. See, if I'm not grateful for the little I have, it's impossible for God to turn it into much. I have to sow that seed of thanksgiving. Any little thing that happens in your life, don't chalk it up to luck. Give God thanks for showing His goodness in your life. It can happen in any number of ways. I was looking at my Twitter feed just the other day, and I noticed that Robert and Kim Berry, I mentioned him in last sermon's message, they took their little boy Chase. He's just a cute little guy. I mean, this is a cute baby. Not all babies are cute, but this baby is cute. Anyway, they took this. Don't send me an email or text. Now, all babies are cute in their own way, but this is a really cute baby. They took him to the, I believe it was the zoo in Memphis. And they went up there to pay, you know, to get into the zoo. And when they got up there to pay, someone came beside them, a complete stranger, and said, I want to pay your way to go into the zoo today. And I saw him tweet, I'm walking in the fog, walking in the favor of God. And friend, that's an awesome thing. No, that's not just luck. If it's good, it's from God. Give him the glory for it. The other day, I was ordering something for my son from the Lego store online. It was a box of Legos that he really wanted. I was going to get them for him. The box costed $20, so I placed the order. And a couple days later, I got a box in the mail from the Lego store. I opened it up, and instead of there being one box of Legos that I paid for, there were two boxes. Now, that's not the favor of God. That is stealing if you keep that. All right, so, well, that's a favor. No, it's not the favor of God. That's stealing. That's not your box of Legos. That's their box. Anyway, so I opened it up and said, man, they sent me two boxes. So I called the contact number and told them, I said, I think there was some type of shipping error because I only ordered one box of Legos and you guys sent me two. And, you know, I don't want to steal from you guys. I want to do the honorable thing. And so he said, well, let me check your order. He ran the order number through. And he said, yeah, you only ordered one box, so two came with it. I said, yeah, two came with it. He said, you know what? Just keep it. I said, are you authorized to tell me I can keep this? Because, you know, some employees just don't like their boss. But anyway, he said, yeah, I'm authorized. I have the liberty to do it. And so I hung up the phone and said, honey, we're walking in the fog. Got a free 20 box of Legos. Then she said, you know what happened to me the other day? She said, I was at such and such restaurant and I was eating breakfast with my son, with our son, B. And anyway, they were just kind of having a mother-son date. And he normally doesn't eat pancakes, but she got him one pancake to eat. And man, he just ate it up and they were having such a good time. And she was surprised at how much he had eaten. And the busboy came by and said, man, he really likes pancakes. And she said, yeah, he normally doesn't eat this much, but he ate it all, and I think he's still hungry. Well, a couple of minutes later, here he comes back with a pancake. And she said, honey, that's the favor of God. I said, yeah, that's the favor of God. But as I was telling the story this morning, I got to thinking, maybe that wasn't the favor of God. Maybe that man was hitting on my wife. And so I had this realization right while I was preaching. First service. And so in between services, I thought there's only one way to tell. I'm going to take him in, just me and him, sit down, find out what that boy looks like, order him one pancake, let him eat it all, and then scream out, he's still hungry. Oh, he loves pancakes. And if that man doesn't bring me a pancake, we're going to have some words. So anyway, if it's good, give God thanks for it. Whether it's a pancake or a lucky break, friend, begin to become aware of the favor of God in your life. Little stuff, big stuff, don't chalk it up to, man, I really worked hard for that. No, Father, thank you for being good to me. That was your goodness on display. And I'll close with saying this. This is never more important than when you are going through a hard time. Think about what David said, our lead text. I would have fainted unless I would have believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And it's in those moments where things in life don't seem to be going right that we get so aware of what is happening now that we forget about what happened back then. All the times that God has been good to us. All the times where his favor has helped us, where his faithfulness delivered us and helped us through things. And friends, I want to encourage you that even if you are going through a difficult time, if you can't find anything good in your life right now, begin to look back in your life and say, God, I know your hand of goodness was on me there. I know, Father, that your hand of goodness changed that situation. If you've been faithful for me then, I trust you'll be faithful and good to me now. I heard T.D. Jakes when Oprah was interviewing him. And, you know, she came with a couple of other people to one of his services. And man, T.D. Jakes was preaching. As I was watching, I said, Dear Lord Jesus, if you just anointed me for just one service to preach like T.D. can preach, I would be forever thankful. Because man, he was preaching the word of God, just expanding the word of God and revelation. You could see it coming even to Oprah. And what he was talking about was the five loaves and two fish. And he mentioned in that story how here the multitude was in front of Jesus and they didn't have enough to feed them. And one disciple spoke up and said, Lord, we have a little boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But then he said, what are they among so many? It's just not enough for so many people. And T.D. Jakes was talking in that moment and he said, you know what? Sometimes in our life, it looks like that what we have is not enough. But he said, if all we do is talk like the disciples about what's not going right in our life, we'll never see any miracles take place. He said, but notice what happened when they put what was not enough into the hands of Jesus. When it got in the hands of Jesus, he didn't look down and say, this is not enough. You know what he did? The Bible says that he gave thanks for it and he blessed it. He gave thanks when things weren't enough. He spoke good when things were not enough. And you know what happened when he did that? What was not enough turned into more than enough. And I love what T.D. said. He said, until you can be thankful for what is not enough in your life, you will never be experiencing the blessing of seeing what is not enough turn into more than enough. And friend, it's so true. If you're going through a state right now where it doesn't seem like what you have is enough, don't focus on that. Instead, focus on the goodness of God. Give thanks for what God has done and what he will do. Frame your world with favor and open your eyes to the favor of God that is all around you. When you do, you'll see God come in that situation and turn it around for you just like he did for Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me pray with you before you leave.